What does repentance actually mean? To understand repentance, you must understand sin. Because repentance is turning away from sin. One of the best definitions I felt coming from the military is the command about turn. You've seen on the parade ground, when they say about turn, all the people turn right around and face 180 degrees the other way. That is, in my mind, the best definition of repentance. About turn. You're no longer looking in this direction. You're looking in exactly the opposite direction. Many people, when they receive Christ as their Savior and say, I've accepted Christ, they have not done an about turn. They've only done a right turn. A right turn is good, but it's only half the job. Your one eye is here and your one eye is here. That's not repentance. Or a left turn, where they've given up some things, they haven't given up some other things. Their eye is still on some of the things they were always living for. About turn means, I've lived all my life facing sin and the world, and God has been behind me. He's not been important in my life. And a day comes in my life and God says, repent. And I turn right around. And my attitude to God becomes exactly the same as my attitude was to sin before. I was facing sin, I enjoyed sin, I loved sin, and I lived like that, and I had a sort of a nominal interest in God, if you're a Christian. Turning around means I'm now passionate about God like I was passionate about sin. And by sin, I don't mean wild sin. It could be just yelling at your wife or getting angry. Getting upset on the road with somebody who cuts you when you're driving, or anything, or small little lies that you say, or little wrong attitudes that you have towards somebody whom you don't like. Those things which we don't even consider as sin. It's all facing in the wrong direction, and the Lord says, turn right around from that. That is repentance. And when we do that, then we are ready to believe and receive Christ as our Savior. So when we see that the churches in Revelation, five of them, needed to hear repentance, what does it mean? It means the elders of those churches were not preaching repentance in that church. But two of those churches, the Lord never told them to repent. The church in Smyrna and the church in Philadelphia. Why did they not need to hear the message of repentance? Because their elders were faithfully preaching repentance regularly. It's like, you know, when people say you must have a balanced diet and food. And a lot of people get sick because they don't have a balanced diet. Something is missing in their diet. So if an important thing is missing in the diet, they can get sick. It's exactly like that. Teaching God's word is a very, very sacred and important task. It's not something you can just get up and say something and prepare a message and come up here. A true elder is a shepherd. He cares for what the flock needs, and he must see that they must get a balanced diet. And I tell you, in most churches, the one part of the diet that's completely missing is repentance, turning away from sin. So, to understand repentance, I said we must understand a little bit of what sin is. So let's go back to the origin of sin, then we'll understand repentance better. Sin originated in this universe not by telling lies, or cheating, or adultery, or even murder. Adultery and murder are considered the great sins. Sin originated in this universe when a created being, the highest of the angels, they call him Lucifer, we don't actually know his name, said, I'm not going to submit to authority. God is above me, but I don't want to submit to him. I will be like God, I can come up there. When a created being wanted to resist authority, and in his pride, he lifted himself up. And God says, you can read about it in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. God said, I'm going to push you down. So remember this, sin originated with pride. Never forget it. And so salvation originated by the opposite of pride. Jesus humbled himself. So here's something you must remember. Here was a created angel wanting to say, I want to go up and be like God. That's how sin came. And to save us from sin, Jesus, who was God and is God, decided, I'll come down. So these are two directions in which there are movements on the earth. Those who are seeking to go up and those who are willing to go down. You've heard me say the three secrets of the Christian life are humility, humility, humility. Because Jesus was God and he became a man, that's the first step of humility. And as a man he became a slave, that's the second step. You're washing people's feet. And then he went further down and was killed like a criminal, even though he wasn't one. Humility, humility, humility. And the opposite of that is what the devil had. And I want to say every human being has been infected by the sin of pride. If you haven't seen it in yourself, ask God to show it to you. In the beginning, it's just pride about so many other things. Maybe you can be proud of the way you look or how smart you are or how clever you are or how intelligent you are, how good your job is or how pretty and good looking you are. There's so many things you can be proud of. And whenever you admire yourself for anything, my brother, sister, please remember that's a little bit of Satan in you. Don't call it by any other name. It originated with Satan. When you sisters look at the mirror and admire your beauty, be careful where that comes from. Be thankful to God, sure, for health. And be thankful because if beauty was so important, God would have made every woman in the world beautiful. Why hasn't he done that? Think about that. So these are subtle ways in which we can think. It's a very light thing. It's not a light thing. It's the origin of sin. That's what made the highest angel into a devil in a moment. And we got to be scared of it, pride of anything. Maybe you've done very well in children. You've got to be very careful. You do very well in school, perhaps. And you beat all the others. You come first in the class and you get good results. Or you're smarter than others when you answer questions in a Sunday school class. It can come anywhere. And you begin to think, I'm better than that guy there. That guy's a bit dumb. Be careful of that attitude. That's satanic. That's the thing that will lead you away from God. Small little thing. Now, how much is this being preached in Christendom today? That's my question. That's why we have so many Christians who are defeated by sin and who think that is normal. They think the normal Christian life is an endless merry-go-round. I sin, I ask the Lord to forgive me, cleanse me, and I sin again. And I ask the Lord to forgive me and cleanse me. And 60 years later, I'm sinning and asking the Lord to forgive me. There's not a merry-go-round. It's a terrible going round and round and round. And 60 years later, you're spiritually in the same place you were before. Maybe with a lot of knowledge of the Bible. Oh, that increases like anything. That you can increase even in 1 or 2 years. But I'll tell you about Bible knowledge. You can't beat Satan. Satan's got a lot more Bible knowledge than you and me. He could even quote a verse to Jesus. He knows the Bible better than anybody other than God. So knowledge of the Bible does not mean anything. It is obedience that Satan lacks. And so that's the thing we need to remember. So the other thing about sin, as I said, is rebellion against authority. Satan rebelled against authority. I don't want God up there. I want to be the authority. And you see that even in children. Where do children get this rebellious attitude to disobey their parents? From childhood. To say no. Daddy or mommy says something, they say no, I won't do it. Where did it come from? What was Eve's sin, let's say? We all know Eve's sin. Everybody knows it as she disobeyed God. When the devil told her to take, eat. God had said, don't eat it. But hang on, before she ate it, let me tell you about something else that was there. God had placed a man as her husband who was in authority over her, created before her, and she was created for him, taken out from him, and he was her head. So when the devil tempted Eve, what is the first thing she should have done? Turned around to Adam and said, Adam, you're my head. What should I do? Her first sin was not disobedience. Her first sin was rebellion against the authority of her husband. Just like Satan. He rebelled against the authority of God. And Eve said, why should I listen to my husband? Just like a lot of wives say today. Who cares for my husband? He's got his opinion. I've got my opinion. I'm just as clever as him. Why should I consult him? I think this is a good fruit to eat, and I'll eat it. See the result. See the result in the world today. The result of one woman not willing to listen to her husband, whom God had appointed over her. Rebellion against authority. Why are we afraid to rebel against authority on the roads? Why don't you drive on the other side of the road? Because you'll be caught. You'll be put in prison. We are scared of punishment. That type of obedience to authority means nothing. If it's a situation where you be caught by the police or arrested or something like that, we submit to authority means nothing. It's in situations where there is no such danger of imprisonment. For example, in a church, if you rebel against the elders, or you speak against the elders and you don't listen to them, you're not going to be arrested. You know that. You can do what you like. You wouldn't do that on the road. You wouldn't do that in your office because your boss will fire you and you'll be without a job next week. There you'll submit. But in the church, I found a lot of rebellion in the churches because nobody's going to arrest you. There's no police. You can do what you like. That's where God tests you. I told you in the testimony you just heard how God tested me. I believe God tests us many times. I went through 5 years of wondering what in the world am I supposed to do. Because I was falsely accused, misunderstood, and God told me to keep my mouth shut. And I did that. I never defended myself. Till one day, God baptized me in the Holy Spirit 5 or 6 years later. And said, I'll give you a ministry now myself. And he gave me a ministry which I didn't get from any man. And that's how CFC started and all the many CFC churches that have come since then in many, many lands. So what I'm trying to say is, if you listen to God when he tells you to keep your mouth shut and don't defend yourself, you'll find God has some purpose in it.